The following is a presentation of the Town of North Hempstead's Project Independence and WCWP. Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Good morning and welcome to Senior Talk Radio here at 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Jerry Peretzman.
Good morning on a beautiful April day with no snow around. We're really doing well.
It's the truth. It's a nice warm day, but this is an extremely special day for two reasons. We have two tremendous guests on, which are going to be kicking off Project Safe. And what better way to kick it off than with Christina Liu's 30th birthday.
Hooray!
As everybody knows, Christina is the producer of the show, and at the same time, she is the whole show of the Christina Liu show at 11:30.
Right, right.
But we'll get to that, and we'll get to birthday and everything else at that point in time. Our two guests today who are going to be with us for the whole hour is Peter Janowski, who's the first vice president at Janney Montgomery Scott.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And Tony Logue, who is an assistant New York attorney general.
That's correct. Thank you, John. Right.
Thanks, Tony.
Here.
And I appreciate you taking time out of your day. We're going to be talking about scams, senior scams, how to avoid them, what to look for, and then also what to do immediately following something that you feel has happened to you. And I'm going to start with Tony by just giving a brief overview of the anatomy of a scam.
Sure. A lot of times you may get a phone call from someone you don't know, and they're talking to you, and they're trying to sell you something. Now, generally, you have to be very worried about scams. And there's three things to look for. Some type of hook. A hook could be it's free money or goods. They're speaking to your emotions about some really awful catastrophe that happened overseas, or they're appealing to a stressful situation in your life, like mortgage issues, and they're offering you a quick fix. The second part of that is that they kind of are trying to connect with you. They're trying to be your buddy, and you don't know them, but yet they're presenting themselves in a way that they appear to be long-lost friends. And the third, which is probably the most important, is that there's some type of deadline put in. So you have to, before you get off this call, you have to make a decision, send the money that they want, and if you get off the call, then this opportunity will have gone.
Okay. And actually, the connection part, just touching on one of the three things you said, during the winter, which now we're coming out of, as Jerry said, and this is a beautiful day, but during the winter, that's at its worst because people are lonely and they want to talk to somebody on the phone. And unfortunately, it's a lot of women and, a nice young man. And he was asking me how I was feeling.
Right, exactly.
And then they start opening up and they give out information, you know, without realizing that nobody from government, from IRS, from any of these places calls looking for anything.
Correct. That's so true. I mean, your bank information, any of that stuff, even like where you live, things that you think are innocuous information, your children, you know, the ages of your children, any of that, identities of your children, that sort of thing you think is innocuous. But for a stranger just calling you for no reason other than to try to get your money, you really have to be very careful.
Yeah. They do have a very credible story. I had that experience a few months ago. I got a call during the day, and a young man said, I'm a friend of Jake's, my grandson, I don't know how he got his name, and he spun the story that my mother was remarrying in some place in the Virgin Islands, and she invited Jake and me to come to the wedding. And after the wedding, he got into a fight at the bar. He had to go to the hospital, and he has to pay the hospital. He doesn't want to tell his mother and father. Well, I knew Jake was in Prague. So somehow I don't think Jake flew from Prague to there. But, you know, what I didn't do was get the information and pass it on to you folks. I just said, well, Jake gets what he deserves, and I'm not interested in helping him. But they do get some facts somehow. Rather, they knew that I had a grandson named Jake.
Mm-hmm. Actually, we always use the 311 for any information that people want from the town of North Hempstead. But in this regard, what number would people call from the attorney general's point of view, like if what just happened with Jerry,
yeah.
Who would he call? 311 is nice and it's very important, but we're just going to pass it on to somebody else. Who is there a phone number that a person would call and say, this is just what happened to me?
Sure. We have a consumer representative, and that would be the type of question that would be directed towards the consumer rep in our office. Mm. We actually are at 200 Old Country Road in Mineola. We're at the regional office for the attorney general. And our number is 516-248-3301. Hmm. And you'll be directed then to the consumer rep. And the consumer rep then can follow up on what and refer you to where you should go regarding that.
Yeah. Okay.
What sort of information should I try to pick up from this call so I could pass on you, other than saying someone called from somewhere?
Well, sometimes the number is visible, but often those numbers are not something that can be traced. But if you get a number on the caller ID, write that down. I've heard other people in those kind of grandparent scams, which they're generally called, try to play along with it, get some information of where, what country, what the accent of the person is. Sometimes it's from another country, that sort of thing. Where they want the money sent, what Western Union, location, because that also can limit, can kind of pinpoint where the person's calling from who's trying to scam you out of money.
Yeah, the most important thing is 9 out of 10 times, I'm not going to say 100%, but 9 out of 10, any call that comes in asking for anything, even for charity sometimes, unless you know the person on the other end, you said, oh yeah, I know this organization and I've talked in the past, you hang up on them.
Right.
Just don't give them any information.
Right. And even if I think it might be something and I've never given to them before, I'll say, send me something in the mail. Send me a pamphlet, give me information of like who's involved in this organization, that sort of thing. And if it's some kind of something shady, I rarely get anything in the mail. But that happens very rarely that you actually get something in the mail after that.
Yeah, that'll definitely, when you tell them to send you something, they have nothing.
Right.
It didn't work. And guess what? They're just throwing your number away and going on to the next one.
Right. And that gets you off the call in a way that's not, hanging up on them. If you're not a person who likes to hang up on people, you're saying, okay, give me something and I'll think about it. And that's
it'll also get you off the list.
It also gets you off the list, right?
Because if you hang up, somebody's going to call you the next day from that same list in that same boiler room kind of operation. Right. Because you didn't say no, so they're going after you again.
So true. That's so true, yeah.
I'd had that happen to me almost every month at work, believe it or not, at my work number, for extending my warranty on my car. And it sounded credible. It really did, because they knew the car I had and everything. But I said, just put it in the mail. If you're a real company and you're serious about making me a real offer, put it in the mail. They said, no, you can only do it on the phone right now. The offer's not going to last. And I said, I wasn't born yesterday. So.
Right.
But the point is, seniors get nervous about that.
Yeah, right.
And this opportunity only exists. And, your roof, we had an example that you told, which I actually go into that. I mean, where that was a great one.
There was someone at my church who told me that a friend of his, she's widowed, and someone came to her door saying, oh, your roof needs to be reshingled. And she was like, oh, really? And it turned out there were loose, which she hadn't seen before, loose tiles and missing tiles. So she went to a contract with this person. It was an exorbitant amount of money. He was a really good speaker, like, oh, you really need to get this done now. You can't wait anymore. You're going to have leaks. So she did it. She then talked to my friend at church, and he is a contractor. He said, well, you have 3 days to get out of that contract. So, send in a letter, doing that. She says, well, you already started. And see, that's another thing. In contracts, you have 3 days to get out of it three business days to get out of it under New York state law. So a contractor should not start unless it really is an emergency, like, you see a leak.
Post-Sandy type of stuff.
Type of stuff. They're obligated to wait 3 days before they start the work. So if they are starting before on something that really does not need to be started, that's a red flag for you right there.
Okay.
And you might want to get out of the contract.
That's another tidbit to take today. 3 days.
So business days.
So you can sign on a Friday and you have till the following Wednesday. They shouldn't have commenced any work. So you can talk to somebody. In this particular case, it was thousands of dollars in difference. But you can call somebody and say, is this appropriate? Why should I be doing this?
Well, you know, but you raise a very interesting point. Someone is living alone, is old, and someone says, it's up on your roof or there. You can't really go up there and look at it yourself. And you have no one to talk to about it. That's, I think, you can't say, well, I'll wait for my wife to come home and see what her, or my husband, or something like that. But, you know, that puts a lot of, I think that they, these people who are scammers, look for people like that, feeling that they really will not have anyone else that they can use as a resource to see how reasonable what's being proposed is.
Right, the person.
Maybe you should always say, wait a minute, let me call my son or call someone and have him come and take a look and talk to you about it. I think the more people that see these scammers, the more people can identify them. I think they're also maybe a little more reluctant to hang around.
Right. Just because they purport to have a certain expertise doesn't mean that you have to go along with it at the time. You're making a great point to go and check with family members who really are more on your side, obviously.
Right. And the other thing, too, with that, which we're seeing more and more with Project Independence, I think Christina had like 25% of the calls that come into Project Independence come from caregivers and adult children who aren't even in the state. So a lot of the seniors who live here don't have somebody they can immediately go to, but they do have Project Independence. They have the senior centers where they go. They have the community centers. With this three-day thing, on the following day when you go for lunch with your friends, say, is anybody familiar with this? And hopefully you would turn around and say, honey, call another contractor. You have 3 days. Don't go through with this. Or my husband knows somebody, or my cousin's in the business. Let me get in touch with somebody for you.
Right.
You have to ask. We here in the town of North Hempstead have a community of seniors, and then we have Project Independence, which really, if you don't use it, it's silly. You're paying the taxes. It's the most wonderful opportunity for everybody to ask.
Someone once told me that unless your house is on fire, you do have a little time.
Right.
No, that you... You know, even if it is a leak, the house is not going to collapse in 1 or 2 days.
Exactly right. And it's usually good to just think about it for a week or two, frankly, before you do something like that and talk to people. Absolutely.
Unfortunately, when people are alone, they become nervous and they become vulnerable. And unfortunately, the people who are trying to take advantage of them are good salespeople. And they know exactly what to say to get the hot points for someone to make a decision fast.
Right. And they try to connect with them. And that's emotional connection is often what gets people to sign the paper. Right.
Yeah, I never really paid attention. Hook, connect, and deadline.
Yeah.
But that's a three powerful, I mean, it's a sales gimmick.
It's such a sales gimmick.
But
it's
when they
terrible.
Get the person who's
vulnerable.
Right, not a 40-year-old businessman or businesswoman, or in Tony's case, an attorney. When you get the 75, 80-year-old widow who's home, worried anyway. You know, this past winter was so cold and dark for so many days. The last thing she needs is a leak that's coming into her house. Oh, my gosh, let me take care of this immediately. And what would my kids say if I'm so stupid to let water come in and damage the house when I should have been in charge? If their father was here, it would have been done. You know, that's really where everybody
goes
right.
You don't want to feel stupid.
It's the truth.
Well, that's what they're playing on a lot of times.
Yeah, no, from that perspective, you can see it so clearly that they're nothing more than pawns. And it's, you know, $3 billion is almost the number that gets taken every year from seniors. And that number is only the number that's reported. How many people are afraid to turn around and say, I was made a fool of? Everybody here in this room has done something. It's like, oh, I can't tell them that. They'll think I'm an idiot.
And plus, as you're getting older, you don't want to admit that you know, you might have made a mistake. And it's, you know, it's embarrassing, you know. So they tend not to disclose it.
Yeah.
That's right, because one of the concerns you have is if I tell my son, my daughter, say, gee, Mom or Dad, maybe you should get out of the house, go into assisted living or something like that, or be institutionalized. You just can't live alone or live even with a housekeeper by yourself anymore.
Right.
And people want to maintain their independence.
Sure.
And that often is a sign that you really don't have it.
Right.
And, you know, it's a difficult situation. Even when you get stuck, I think, as you rightly say, John, people are reluctant to talk about it.
Right. Absolutely.
Fair.
Jerry, that was perfect. And we're going to come back to that. Right now, we're going to take a break, and we'll come back to this. You're listening to Project Independence and You on 88.1 FM.